Today, the Kiwi economy on the knife edge has more leave. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analysis, one of those posts covering finance and property news. Well, in this show, we're going to look at some of the recent data relating to the New Zealand economy, which is sitting in a high interest rate recessionary condition as the Reserve Bank of New Zealand wrangles inflation towards its targets. We saw a significant rise in people leaving the country, with New Zealand citizens voting with their feet. So we're going to look at the latest on property prices, retail spending, and the latest inflation and migration updates. Overall, things remain very tough, although inflation, while remaining sticky, is easing slowly, perhaps. Residential property values are teetering on the brink as the market heads into winter, according to the quotable value. According to the QV House Price Index, New Zealand's average dwelling value fell 0.2% over the 3 months to May this year. That's the first quarterly decline since July last year, and followed a 0.1% increase in the 3 months to April this year, suggesting values could be at a turning point. The average rate of home value growth either decreased or the rate of decline increased in nearly all of the main urban areas we monitor, QV said in its June report. The biggest declines were in Auckland, where the average dwelling value dropped 1.4%. Going against the trend, though, Invercargill had the biggest gain in average values at 3.2%, followed by a 2.5% gain in Rotorua. Home values continue to bobble up and down from month to month and quarter to quarter, but they aren't moving one way or the other with any real conviction, QV operations manager James Wilson said. The housing market has largely stalled, and now the seasonal slowdown is well and truly upon us, with both buyers and sellers continuing to grapple with difficult economic conditions. Against this backdrop, an excess of housing stock on the market is maintaining downward pressure on prices. So those who are in a position to buy right now have the upper hand. Purchasers are spoilt for choice and appear to have time on their side, with nothing to suggest that house prices are going to take off again soon, Wilson said. Now turning to building activity, Stats New Zealand reported it was down 4% in March 2024 quarter, with the total volume of building works in the March 24 quarter the lowest quarterly volume in the past 2 years. The fall in building activity coincided with a 2.8% decrease in the retail sales volume of hardware and building supplies in the March quarter as well, and the annual number of homes consented peaked in the year ended May 2022 and has been decreasing ever since. And the retail spending slump is getting worse, with sales figures falling for the fourth consecutive month, and the largest fall is the biggest of the four. Statistics New Zealand said that on a seasonally adjusted basis, total retail spending slumped 1.1% in May 24 compared to April, while core retail spending, which excludes fuel and vehicles, fell 0.8% on a seasonally adjusted basis last month. This worsening slump in spending comes following a period of sharp price rises, and now amid the high interest rates that have been engineered by the Reserve Bank of New Zealand as it strives to get inflation back to its 1-3% target range. The higher cost of living and the higher interest rates are clearly taking their toll. And with the Reserve Bank of New Zealand currently forecasting they won't be reducing the official cash rate, which is currently 5.5%, until the second half of 2025, there's no immediate sight of respite. In the past 4 months, the total retail spending figure movements have fallen by, in order, 0.8, 0.7, 0.4, and now 1.1%. So the last month is the worst in that sequence and is the worst since the 1.3% fall in December last year. Apart from a surprise 1% rise in January this year, it's been downhill all the way for retail sales in 2024. Stats New Zealand said specific movements by retail spending categories in May included hospitality down 2%, fuel down 2.8%, durables down 1%, motor vehicles excluding fuel down 4.8%, apparel down 1.2%, and consumables up 0.1%. Comparisons with a year ago are pretty unflattering as well. The May total retail figures were down just 1.6% of those for May 2023. The figures, though, aren't inflation adjusted, so all things being equal, they should rise from year to year. Annual inflation in the year to March was running at around 4%. Westpac's senior economist Michael Gordon said retail spending levels have fallen over the last year despite some strong population growth, which points to an even sharper fall in per capita spending. In large part, it's been a result of continued increases in living costs that are squeezing household spending power. Those pressures include increases in the cost of necessities like rent and utilities, which are draining cash from households' wallets, even though we're now seeing some moderate increase in retail prices, Gordon said. We expect household spending will remain soft over the coming months. Households' budgets remain under pressure from continued high interest rates and still high inflation. At the same time, the labour market is softening. These conditions mean that spending appetites are likely to remain weak for some time yet. On a more positive side, though, income tax cuts may give spending a temporary boost through the back half of the year. And ASB senior economist Kim Mundy said New Zealand's retail environment was very weak. Households are battling rising cost of living pressures, including higher mortgage interest rates, and have pulled back spending as a result. More recently, the weakening of the labour market and rising unemployment rates to 4.3% are adding to consumer caution. Indeed, consumer confidence has retreated again in recent months, Mundy said. With headwinds facing consumers unlikely to abate any time soon, we expect to see more of the same over the coming months. Tax changes may not provide too much relief if cautious consumers opt to save a chunk. Weak consumer demand is a prerequisite for the Reserve Bank of New Zealand rate cuts, but at this stage it's proving slow to translate into sustained lower inflation. Official cash rate cuts will remain a distant prospect until inflation cools further. And Stats New Zealand said that the non-retail, excluding services category, decreased by $16 million, or 0.7% from April 2024. This category includes medical and other healthcare, travel and tour arrangements, postal and courier delivery, and other non-retail industries. And the services category was down $22 million, or 5.8%. This category includes repair and maintenance and personal care, funeral and other personal services. The total value of electronic card spending, including the two non-retail categories, services and other non-retail, decreased from April 2024, down $81 million or 0.9%. In actual terms, cardholders made 160 million transactions across all industries in May 2024, with an average value of $55 per transaction. The total amount spent using electronic cards was $9 billion. And elsewhere, Stats New Zealand released their selected price indices, the SPI, for May 24, which provides monthly price changes for a selection of goods and services that New Zealand households purchase. The latest data for May on monthly inflation showed consumer prices fell 0.7%. Sharp falls in airlines and petrol contributed to much of the falls, but underlying price pressures do look to be moderating. The softer tone of the monthly pricing data provided ASB with greater confidence that CPI inflation will fall below 3% by the end of the year. So while the inflation fight is not yet over, today's data will be encouraging to the Reserve Bank, they said. However, let's not get too excited because the monthly SPI data covers only around 45% of the CPI regime and includes typically more volatile components and is not really intended to be used as a monthly CPI or monthly CPI indicator proxy. The monthly CPI data tends to be underweight for stickier services prices that lifted core inflation lately. Nevertheless, the data might provide a useful directional signal for overall inflation. In fact, ASB's quarterly inflation estimate is now pointing to some downside risks to the 0.7% quarter-on-quarter that they picked for the second quarter. Overall, they say the trajectory of annual inflation from the inflation pulse looks firmly downwards, giving us greater confidence that annual CPI inflation is on track to fall below 3% by the end of the year. Looking at the components in detail, food prices, which is 18.8% of CPI weight, fell 0.2% in May, partially unwinding the 0.6% rise in April. Annual food price inflation fell to 0.2%. That's the lowest since September 2018. Looking at the details, fruit and veg prices fell 1.1%, with prices 11.4% lower than 12 months ago. This looks to be mostly seasonal, though. Meat, poultry, and fish prices were unchanged, but prices are 1.2% lower than a year ago. That's the lowest since 2021. and grocery food prices fell 0.6%, with annual inflation at a low 1.3%. Now, ASB's view remains that consumer resistance to paying higher prices will cap grocery food price rises over the year. Non-alcoholic beverage prices rose 1.4%, with annual inflation falling to just 2.7%, and prices for restaurant meals and ready-to-eat food rose just 0.1% month-on-month, with annual inflation dropping to 4.8%. Lower rises in the minimum wage, just 2%, and lackluster consumer demand are expected to push annual inflation from this component towards 3% by 2025. And ASB expects to see annual food price inflation settling well below 3% heading into 2025. Looking at the other monthly prices, like 26.3% of the CPI weight, dwelling rents are the largest component of CPI, weighted at 9.5%, and in non-tradable CPI prices, 17%. Rents for the stock measure rose just 0.3% month on month. That's the lowest monthly increase since January, with the three-monthly steady at 1.2%. Annual dwelling inflation for rents from the stock component was unchanged at 4.6%, and they expect annual dwelling rental inflation to be at or close to its peak. Slowing net immigration, lower growth in household incomes, and the reintroduction of interest rate deductibility for loans to residential investors is expected to cap rental inflation going forwards. Tobacco and alcohol prices, with a CPI weight of 7.1%, fell 0.1% in May, driven by lower prices for alcohol. Annual inflation from this component eased to 7%, and overall the indexation of excise to past CPI movements will likely keep inflation rates up, but these increases will slow as inflation eases and consumer resistance grows. Prices for airlines, with a CPI weight of 2.7%, fell 8.1% month on month to be 6.2% lower than a year ago, and domestic airfares down 7.9% month on month, and international airfares down 8.2% month over month, were both lower. They still expect falls for airlines over 2024 as the COVID-19 premium unwinds. Accommodation prices, with a CPI weight of 2.9%, rose 0.8% in May, but the annual increase slowed to 2.3%, largely driven by cooling domestic accommodation inflation and is reflective of the subdued domestic environment. There were offsetting moves for domestic, down 8.7% month over month, and international accommodation up 4.3% month over month rates, and they expect accommodation inflation to ease as the post-COVID surge for travel unwinds. Petrol prices, which is 3.9% of CPI weight, fell 2.6% over the month, but prices are still 17% higher than a year ago. Movements in global oil prices and the New Zealand dollar will be pivotal, and they envisage some near-term weakness given the strength in New Zealand dollar. The dropping of the Auckland regional fuel tax from July and no increases to the fuel excise over the next 3 years could help cap future fuel prices. Now turning to migration, provisional estimates for migration in April 2024 compared with April 2023 were migrants arriving 229,100, up 25%, migrants departing 130,600, up 34%, with net annual migration gaining 98,500 compared with a net gain of 85,800 last year. 130,600 migrants departing in the April 24 year are provisionally the highest on record for an annual period. Annual migration arrivals provisionally peaked at 241,500 in the year ended October 2023. An annual net migration provisionally peaked in the year ended October 2023 with a gain of 137,700. And comparing that to the long-term average for April, looking at the pre-COVID 2002 to 2019, is that 119,000 migrants arrived, 91,500 migrants departed, and there was a net migration of 27,500. And the April 2024 year provisionally saw two annual records for New Zealand citizens. 81,200 migrants departed. That exceeds the previous record before 2024 of 72,400 in the February 2012 year. and net migration losses of 56,500 exceeded the previous record before 23-24 of 44,400 in the February 2012 year. And the next largest groups to depart were Chinese, 7,600, United Kingdom citizens at 5,100, Australian citizens at 5,000, Indian at 4,300, and the United States at 3,200. And finally, total actual filled jobs in the March quarter were 2.3 million. In the March 24 quarter, compared with the December quarter, total seasonally adjusted filled jobs were up 0.3% or 7,346 jobs. And for the year ended March 24, compared with the March year 23, total gross earnings were up 8.6% at $13.8 billion. An annual comparison is used for earnings to account for payroll timing differences between quarters. At the industry level, the largest changes in seasonally adjusted filled jobs compared with the December 23 quarter were public administration safety down 2.5%, healthcare and social assistance up 0.8%, education and training up 0.9%, and accommodation and food services up 0.9%. So standing back, clearly the New Zealand economy is not out of the woods yet, but the Reserve Bank of New Zealand's approach to lifting rates higher than Australia does appear to be pushing inflation in the right direction. The uptick in exits from New Zealand suggests perhaps that some are deciding to jump ship because households are clearly feeling the pressures. And recent policy changes will likely continue to reduce net overseas migration with potentially significant impacts on the job market and the demand for property. But rates are going to stay higher for quite some time and rate cuts will come slow. So the pressure on households will continue for some time yet. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. My thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.